We are now sa third part ng ating series sa Book of Ruth. Para sa akin, ito ay isa sa pinakamahirap na na-encounter ko sa aking preaching, sa aking study. Bakit ko nasabing mahirap? Dahil nung una kong binasa, ang story is parang pagbebenta ng isang nanay sa kanyang anak. Hindi po ba? Sabi ko tuloy eh, bakit nalagay ang ganitong story sa Bible? Parang may mali. At kapag may mukhang mali, tayo ang malamang na mali. Dahil ang ating modern interpretation ay mali. We need to understand it ayon sa original readers the way they understand it. We need to understand how the Hebrew culture understand the text. We need to understand their costume, their culture, at pati na rin yung tradition nung that time nung sinulat ito. That's why we need to understand yun lahat ng related sa passage na to. At finally, sa aking pag-research, pag-aaral, sa panahon ng time na yon, abay, napansin ko na hindi pala about immorality ang story, but rather is a courageous dedication of unconditional love of Ruth to her mother-in-law. Ang setting ng ating story ay in the days of Judges. In the days of Judges, kasi in the last part ng in the days of Judges, which is repeated theme, in those days there were no king in Israel, and everyone did what is right in his own eyes. Kaya magulo sa Israel that time, at every time na magulo sa isang bansa, kadalasan nangyayari ang famine. It's an act of man, itong famine, but at the same time, it's a sovereign punishment of God. Kaya ito ang reason kaya nag-migrate ang family ni Elimelech and Noah sa fertile land ng Moab sa chapter 1. At maaaring ang desisyon nila ay economically correct, but spiritually wrong. Bakit? Kasi may utos ang Panginoon, ang Diyos sa kanila sa Deuteronomy chapter 23 that no one born of forbidden union sa mga Amorite at Moabite na may enter in the assembly of the Lord, be part of Israel nation. Ngunit, pumunta pa rin sila sa Moab. Why this nation are forbidden? Bakit pinagbabawal ng Diyos na makipag-communicate sila sa mga taong to? One is, remember nung umalis ang Israel going out of Egypt, as they passed to wilderness, lumalapit na sila to enter sa Canaan, sa Promised Land, nung dadaan sila sa Moab country, hindi man lang nag-provide ng tubig ang bansang Moab. At hindi lang yon, yung hari pa nila nag-hire ng false prophet na si Balaam to curse yung nation Israel. Ngunit, hindi lang sila nag-migrate sa Moab, nag-asawa pa ang kanilang dalawang anak ng Moabite woman. Therefore, the family intentionally disobeyed the law of forbidden marriage with the Moabite. At after a few years when their son died, ang natira na lang si Ruth and Orpah, and still, faithful pa rin sila sa kanilang mother-in-law. Alam na natin yung story yon. Si Orpah went back to Moab to start a new life. At si Ruth still stayed sa kanyang mother-in-law. At pagtapos nga nun, si Naomi and Ruth returned to Israel. Now in chapter 2, alam ni Naomi that if she remain widow, malamang she will end up sa Jewish culture na isang outcast sa society at maaring in the end, beggars na lang sila sa street ng Bethlehem. Alam niya rin na ang harvest time will only last for a season at pagtapos nun, nga na sila ni Ruth. Kaya nung bumalik si Ruth na may daladalang pagkain, ang tanong kagad ni Naomi, saan galing yan? At nung narinig ni Ruth at ni Naomi ang pangalang Boaz, maaring nang laki ang kanyang mata nung sinabi ang pangalang Boaz, dahil alam niya na si Boaz ay isang close relative, malapit na kamag-anak, isang old bachelor, at posibleng candidate as a kinsman redeemer, isang tagatubos. Kaya nagbalak ireto ni Naomi si Ruth. Naalala ko tuloy yung mga istoryang reto-reto. Ako rin po ay nireto ng aking sister. Naalala ko nung binata ako, from Saudi, 27 years old na ako, pagbalik kong Pinas, at that time, 1990s, matanda na yon bilang binata. But, so, wala akong girlfriend at wala rin akong interest na magkaroon. Masaya na ako sa aking buhay, paakyat-akyat ng bundok, pa-mountain-mountain bike sa Southeast Asia. At para sa akin, isang achievement yun. Kaya nag-aalala ang aking mga kapatid na babae. In fact, nagre-reto sila ng kanilang mga kaibigan. Then, my sister take the risk na magplano para pakilala yung isang kaibigan niya. Ang tanong sa akin ay, may pakikilala ako sa iyo, Dex. Ang tanong ko ay, taga saan ba yan? Sabi niya ay, taga Cubao. Sabi ko, may mapapagkatiwalaan pa bang taga Maynila? Ngunit persistent pa rin ang ate ko at gumawa ng paraan. One day, in-invite ako sa kanilang office para kunin yung mga in-order niyang mangga. And then, pinapasok ako sa kanilang office. Noon nakita ko yung mga kaibigan niya, may nakita akong isang magandang babaeng aking nasilayan. Ang hindi ko alam, planted pala yon at involved ang mother ko. After a few months, to cut the story short, naging kami after one year, nag-propose ako, and after 3 months, kinasal kami. Biblical din po ang pangalan niya. Siya po si Esther, kilala niyong asawa ko. And God sovereignly planned everything to accomplish His plan para sa ating buhay, each one of us. My sister took the risk to save me from this unfortunate life, according to her. And in our passage, Naomi took the risk to save her daughter-in-law by planning an extraordinary way. And Ruth obediently submit and said, "All that you say, I will do." Ruth's willing to sacrifice her life because she loves Naomi and she loves the Lord of Naomi. And because of this sacrificial love, God became gracious to her. They were not only saved by hunger, but they were given a new life. Kaya po ang ating main point sa ating passage is the Lord gives grace to those who are willing to sacrifice their life to others. The Lord gives grace to those who are willing to sacrifice their life to others. 3 lesson points po ang matututunan sa ating passage. First point po is obedience requires sacrifices. So first part. Second point is sacrifices leads to blessing, and blessing leads to redemption. First point, in verse 1, si Naomi ay tunay na nagmamahal kay Ruth dahil ayaw niyang matulad sa kanya na isang widow. Alam niya that they will end up as beggars after ng harvest time. Mamamalimos na lang sila sa road ng Bethlehem. Maaring nag-iisip si Naomi na itong si Mr. Good Old Guy ang kanilang ticket sa kahirapan. Kaya't siya ay nagplano ng most daring plan sa ating story. Desperate times needs desperate moves. This is the climatic point ng whole story ng Ruth. Kumbaga sa movie, ito na yung drum rolling. At yung background ng excitement. Hindi po ba? At kanyang ang kanyang plano pala is pumunta si Ruth sa paanan ni Boaz nang walang nakakaalam. Then Naomi in verse 3 said, bago mo gawin yan, but first, wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloth. Anong ibig po sabihin nito? Kung iintindihin po natin in modern times ang passage na to, literally, as you search in YouTube, ang usual interpretation is, maligo ka, magpabango ka at magdamit ng pang-akit dahil aakitin mo si Boaz. Hindi po ba? Ito po ay isang maling interpretation. We need to understand this story according to Hebrew culture. We must hermeneutically interpret this passage historically, grammatically, literary, theologically. Ang ibig sabihin po ng kanilang culture, sa kanilang culture, ang passage na ito ay mag-ayos ka dahil tapos na ang iyong pagluluksa bilang widow. Panahon na to anoint yourself, to prepare yourself to marriage, kaya dapat magsuot siya ng formal na damit, the cloth. Ngunit, meron pa rin weird part dito dahil si Ruth ang nag-propose sa lalaki. Even in Jewish culture, hindi ito pinapractice. Kaya sa mga dalaga natin dito sa church, huwag nating gagawin ang formula na ginagawa ni Naomi na siya ang nag-propose para makahanap ng lalaki. Huwag po, delikado po yun, lalo na sa panahon ngayon, baka mapagsamantalahan tayo. Kaya lang naging successful si Boaz because Boaz is obedient to the law. And it's God's sovereign plan. Then Naomi said in verse 4, masdan mo kung saan matutulog si Boaz. Make sure na siya yon. At ayaw nating ma-wow mali tayo. Mamaya pagbukas eh, naku po. At nung naalimpungatan na si Boaz, then he will tell you what to do. May tiwala si Naomi kay Boaz dahil alam niya ang kanyang kamag-anak ay isang maginoong tao, an honorable man. Then in verse 5, Ruth responded, all that you say, I will do. Pansinin natin how she replied, in full obedience, kahit alam niya na delikado ang buhay niya, dahil especially isa siyang Moabite. But still, ginawa niya to dahil mahal niya si Naomi at mahal niya ang Diyos ni Naomi. How about us, Christians? Do we love God that we obey His command? Madaling mag-obey kay Lord when everything seems fine sa ating buhay, ngunit kapag involved na ang sacrifices, do we still obey God kahit alam nating mahirap ito? Kapag tayo na-hurt ng iba, kaya ba nating mag-sacrifice by forgiving others so that we can obey God's command of loving others? Knowing that we are also forgiven by God? Or baka naman, ikaw ay nagbabalak maghigante, we seek justice, knowing that ikaw ang tama, ikaw ang dehado, ikaw ang inape, and in the process, as you seek justice, nagkakaroon ka na ng tampo sa iyong puso. Iyan ba ang dahilan kaya't hindi na kayo nag-uusap bilang mag-asawa, bilang magkapatid, bilang magka-office mate or even ka-flatmates mo? Iyan ba ang dahilan at hindi na kayo nagpapansinan sa loob ng church o sa dati mong church? Hindi ba sabi ng Bible sa 1 John na, if you hate your brothers or sisters, the Lord is not in you. Do we obey God when it requires sacrifices sa ating part? Mga kapatid, kaya mo bang i-give up ang sarili mong oras para magkaroon ka ng time sa iyong personal prayer, sa iyong meditation alone with the Lord, para maka-attend ka ng community, para tawagan mo ang kapatiran na nangangailangan, para mag-discipleship, para pareho kayong lumago in the knowledge of the Lord? Kaya mo bang i-give up ang time mo para sa Panginoon? Mga kapatid, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. After Naomi's instruction, now i-execute na ni Ruth ang daring command ni Naomi, which is ating second point. Sacrifices leads to blessing. Now, in verse 7, pagkatapos ng masaganang ani, syempre masaya si Boaz, upbeat, in good mood, kahit pagod siya sa pagmamando ng kanyang mga tao sa harvest time. At katulad ni Boaz, kadalasan, pagkatapos ng isang nakakapagod na trabaho, we reward ourselves, di ba? We celebrate. At ang Pinoy, anong ginagawa pag nagse-celebrate? We're eating to the max. Kaya si Boaz ay busog na busog at masaya kahit inaantok. Malamang kinakamot niya pa ang kanyang tiyan na parang biek, hanggang makatulog siya sa pile of heap of grain. Ito po ay isang customary sa ancient Near East culture that during harvest time, the farmers celebrate after harvest. They eat, they drink, at pagkatapos ay matutulog sila dun sa harvest nila to guard it, but mostly as a feeling of reward sa kanilang hard work. But si Ruth naman, nagmamatsyag lang habang nagse-celebrate kung saan siya matutulog. Kaya nung nakatulog na si Ruth, ito na ang ninja moves ni Ruth. Dahan-dahan siyang humahakbang hanggang makarating dun sa tinutulugan ni Boaz. Naalala ko tuloy, noong araw, yung mga bata pinapatulog kapag tanghali. Kaya kami rin sa aming mga magulang ko, pinapatulog ako pag tanghali. Ngunit kapag summer, nasa labas lahat ng bata. So kapag narinig ko na yung palakpak ng mga kalaro ko, eto na, excited na ako at nagbabalak na ako ng aking ninja moves. Dahan-dahan kong inaalis ang kamay ng mother ko at dahan-dahan akong bumababa sa kama at ng mahakbang dahan-dahan hanggang pagbukas ng pinto. Ang kadalasan is, nahuhuli pa rin ako ng mother ko. But si Boaz, hindi niya napansin na dumating si Ruth sa kanyang higaan. Note that si Ruth ay humiga sa paanan ni Boaz. Hindi siya humiga in parallel, but sa paanan, kundi perpendicular. Ibig sabihin lang noon na walang intensyong masama si Ruth. Kasi there's a huge misunderstanding on this text. Most modern interpreters suggest that Ruth's bold move that night is to seduce Boaz into a sexual relationship. Some even connect the idea that during ancient culture daw, during harvest, it's a time of celebration, of formality, kaya normal lang daw na ginawa ni Ruth at Boaz. Well, that's nonsense. They understand this text in their own terms and hindi niya pinayagan, they did not let the Bible speak for itself. Bakit ko nasabi na walang nangyari sa kanilang dalawa? Let the scripture speak for itself. If titingnan po natin sa chapter 4, verse 13, it is said that only when they get married, Boaz went into her. Kaya in verse 8, si Boaz ay nun naalimpungatan na at nagulat na may nakahigang tao sa kanyang paanan, in fact, isang babae, nagtanong kaagad si Boaz, sino ka? Who are you? At sumagot si Ruth at nagsabing, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over me, for you are my redeemer. This verse is another proof that there is no sexual overtone because she replied immediately stating his purpose. She want Boaz to redeem her, to save her mother-in-law. Nung sinabi ni Ruth that spread your wings over your servant, it's a metaphor for a simple word, marry me. According to Hebrew culture, kung sa Tagalog, siguro naintindihan natin kagad. But in direct translation of the Hebrew word, it's only mean that spread the corner of your garment over me. Itong expression na to is not new. In fact, ginagamit din sa ibang passages sa Bible, sa Ezekiel chapter 16, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 27, and Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. Example is sa Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 18. When I pass by you again, and saw you, behold, you are the age of for love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered in the covenant with you, declared the Lord, and you became mine. The Lord speaking to nation Israel using the metaphor of marriage. Now, nung sinabi ni Boaz sa chapter 2, verse 12, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, it means na sana i-bless ka ni Lord, ng Panginoon, at makakita ka ng lalaking magpapakasal sa'yo. Ngayon, sa ating passage sa chapter 3, verse 9, sabi ni Ruth, tuparin mo ang prayer mo sa akin. By stating the same praise, spread your wings over me, over your servant. Ngayon, pakasalan mo ako. Now, after Ruth proposed to Boaz to redeem her through marriage, then in verse 10, he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter, for you made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. Boaz blessed her again and declared the unusual kindness na much better pa sa kindness na una niyang pinakita. Ano po yung first kindness na una niyang pinakita? Ito po yun, unang pagkalinga niya to her mother-in-law because she loves her. In fact, Ruth was given a choice na umuwi to Moab to start a new life, but still, mas pinili niya na mag-sacrifice para sa kanyang mother-in-law. At sinabi niya pa, one of the highlights ng Book of Ruth is, your people shall be my people, your God will be my God. Parang till death do us part. Ito po ay isang heroic act ni Ruth. Ngunit hindi nagtapos ang heroic act ni Ruth. Ang pinaka-impresa ni Boaz nung sinabi niyang greater kindness ay, her greater kindness ay she's willing to marry kahit hindi niya kilala. Boaz man o kusino mang kamag-anak. She's willing to marry for the sake of Naomi. She's willing to marry para magkaroon ng anak to redeem the family name of her deceased husband. Mahalaga po sa kultura ng Israelite to. Ang pinakita niya pa to ay isang extreme kindness. Kaya in verse 11, Boaz even called her worthy woman for marriage because of her courage, her dignity, and kindness. Her reputation follow her, isang unique na babae sa Bible. A worthy woman na dinescribe sa Proverbs 31. Ang Proverbs 31 is about a virtuous woman and a woman of noble character. In Jewish tradition, kapag binabasa na sa kanilang congregation, sa Ketuvim, ito po yung writing part ng Tanakh, yung Hebrew Bible, kapag binasa ang Proverbs 31 about virtuous woman, ang sunod na babasahin is ang Book of Ruth. Bakit? Dahil para sa kanilang understanding, ang virtuous woman na dinescribe sa Proverbs is Ruth. Amazing, di ba? Pansinin nyo, hindi na-attract si Boaz dahil bata at maganda si Ruth. Na-attract si Boaz because of her godly character. Godly man attracted to godly woman. Kaya, ladies, if you want to attract godly men, then be a faithful Christian. Kung tayo po ay mag-i-invest lang sa physical appearance, well, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is, ang maaakit mo is maybe ang interest lang ay ang physical appearance mo. Kaya pag madami ka ng wrinkle at medyo mas mabigat ka pa sa partner mo, maramang wala na rin interest sa'yo. Kaya sisters, love the Lord with all your heart. Because God is willing to give what is the best for you. Men, godly women attracted to godly men. Men, hindi ka magiging attractive sa isang godly woman unless ikaw ay may character ng godly man. The wisdom is not applicable lang sa Christian world, but ito po ay applicable sa lahat. Kapag ikaw ay nabubuhay bilang Kristiyano na may dangal, may dignidad, at may godly courage, kahit ang outside world, irerespeto ka. Like Boaz, his reputation follow him because of his godly character. Parents, prepare your sons and daughter to have a godly character. How? By training your kids with the Word of God. When you're walking, when you are eating, when you are sitting, and when you're about to sleep. Train them to be godly men with humility, with honor, and most of all, with fear in God. Train them to be godly women with dignity, kindness, and loving the Lord from their heart. Post it in your door, instill in their mind, and put that in their heart so that when they grow up, they won't depart from it. Now, verse 11, Boaz said, "My daughter, do not fear, for I will do for you all that you've asked." Nagbalik si Boaz ng extreme kindness din kay Ruth. Then he confirmed that it is true that I am your redeemer. Under Levitical law, the redeemer is the one in charge with the duty of restoring the right of another. In the book of Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, "Kung sa inyo ay may maghirap at mapalitan at magbenta ng kanyang ari-arian, iyon ay dapat tubusin agad ng pinakamalapit niyang kamag-anak. This kindness of Boaz is extraordinary. He is willing to sacrifice for the sake of others because he loved the law and he loved God. But even Boaz is faithful to the law. But at the back of the law of Moses ay isang understanding that the Israel have sinned against the holy God. At kahit mag-sacrifice pa sila ng paulit-ulit-ulit, ito ay hindi sapat upang maligtas sila sa kanilang kasalanan. Someone kailangan ng may mag-atone sa kanila. Someone needs to redeem them. And that's their only hope. And even us, dahil lahat ng tao ay nagkasalanan sa mata ng Diyos, walang sino man nabubuhay to please the Lord. Kaya tayong lahat are doomed to be punished in hell for our sins. Ang ating lang way, ang ating lang salvation ay kailangan may mag-redeem sa atin. In the Old Testament, God said for so many times that I am the Redeemer. God said that I will redeem you, I will save you, I will rescue. The Redeemer has come 2,000 years ago. The Lord became flesh and conceived in Mary's womb. She will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will redeem his people from their sin. Jesus is our Redeemer. Siya ang nagbayad ng ating kasalanan at pinagbayaran niya to ng mahal. Pinagbayaran niya ito ng sarili niyang buhay. Ang ating tagapagligtas na si Jesus ay nagpakahirap ng gusto at ang masakit pa niyan, sa kanya binuhos ng Diyos Ama ang lahat ng galit na dapat sanang tayo ang nanagot. At dahil sa loving kindness ng Panginoong Jesus, ang ating relasyon sa Panginoon, sa Diyos Ama, ay maaaring magbalik. Kaya't kung ikaw ay maniniwala sa Panginoong Jesus bilang iyong Redeemer and Lord at ikaw tunay na hihingi ng kapatawaran sa iyong kasalanan, God is kind and He is willing to redeem you. Do you believe that? Then in verse 13, Boaz said, "Yet there is a Redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do that. But he is not willing to redeem you. As the Lord live, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning." Nagpakita ulit ng isang extreme kindness si Boaz. Pwede niya namang hindi pa alam sa kamag-anak niya at pakasalanan direct si Ruth, but Boaz is faithful to the law. Kaya't he's willing to sacrifice his own wants for the sake of others. Boaz knows that sacrifices produce blessing. Now, after sa successful daring plan ni Ruth, Boaz promised to redeem them, which is our third part ng blessing leads to redemption. Boaz did not stop his kindness to Ruth, that he even gave additional grain for her mother-in-law. Sa verse 17, sabi, "You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law." Ito pong passage na to ay isang patunay na si Boaz ay isang Pinoy. Bakit? Kasi nagpabaon eh. Gaya nga ng Nang sabi ni Pastor the last week, ni Pastor Alvin, ang Pinoy hindi uuwi ng walang pabaon. Hindi po ba? Yun iba nga dyan, kinarir na eh. May baon ng plastic eh. Parang yun sa misis ko, sabi ka, minsan sinasabi ng misis ko para sa aso namin. Ang pangalan nun, si David tsaka si Dexter eh. When Ruth reached the city, ito ay excited na yun mother niya. Ang tanong ni Naomi, so anong nangyari? Ang sumagot si Ruth, mother, nag-work yung plano natin. Eto, may bonus pang binigay sa akin pagkain. Ngunit, may isang problema. Hindi daw si Boaz ang pinakamalapit nating kamag-anak. Then Naomi responds in verse 18, sabi, don't worry, kilala ko, tapat sa salita si Boaz, he will solve this matter immediately. But we need to wait. We need to wait. Sometimes, ang pinakamahirap ng part of blessing is the waiting time, hindi po ba? Because you wait on something that you cannot see. In Christian terms, ito po ay faith. Sabi sa Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is trusting in God that He will do something in our situation. Faith is parang stepping sa bangin. We have full confidence na when we step, sasaluhin tayo ng Panginoon. But minsan, sigurista tayo, di ba? Paghakbang natin, naglalagay tayo ng tali sa likod dahil alam natin na kung malaglag tayo, sasaluhin tayo ng rope. Well, that is not faith. Kaya ang nangyayari, pag nagpre-pray tayo, pero at the back of our mind, nagpaplano na tayo ng next move natin, di ba? Halimbawa, Lord, tulungan niyo kami sa aming financial situation. But the back of our mind, mayroon na tayong compromise alternative. Ay, si ano, utangan ko yan. Hindi po ba? Is that faith? Lord, bigyan niyo ako ng trabaho. Ngunit iniisip na natin, kung hindi, tatanggapin ko na itong trabahong to kahit walang time sa inyo. Then after few months, nanghina sa faith, nalaglag sa kasalanan. Well, what do you expect? Christians' only strength is our communion with the Lord and fellowship with His saints. Lord, bigyan niyo ako ng asawa. But at the back of our mind, kung hindi, sasagutin ko itong unbeliever na to. Tapos after few months, cry-cry na si sister. Ito, nagre-reklamo. Bakit ganun ang ugali niya? Well, what do you expect? Only a regenerated, spirit-filled Christian ang kayang mag-extend ng grace sa shortcoming natin. Why it's hard to wait? Because we humans, in our fallen condition, we want to do it in our way. We want things to fall according to our plan, according to our time, according to our situation, which means na we want to do it our own way. Then, dumating na ang time na hindi na tayo makapaghintay, we do it our own way. Ang problema, every time when a Christian do it in his own or her way, problem comes. Then suffering, then frustration, then if you are not guarding your heart, it will lead you to bitterness. When bitterness comes, depression comes, blaming other comes, then anger, then hate, then you finally realize that your life is messed up. The joy is gone. The peace is gone. The patience to others is gone. The love is gone. Tapos, wala na sa puso mo ang Panginoon. o baka naman talagang wala. Kasi hindi mo kayang magmahal sacrificially katulad ng Panginoon na nasa inyo na. Kung ano man ang kalagayan mo ngayon, come to God and wait. Wait for Him to speak. Quiet yourself, quiet your agenda, quiet your emotion. Stay with your pain, with your pressure and wait. Stay with your fear, with your discouragement and wait. Wait in God. He is there. He is mighty and He has everything you need. Isaiah said, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up in the wings like eagle, and they shall run and not worry, and they shall walk and not faint." Finally, Ruth's unconditional love to Naomi caused her to sacrifice her life. And in her sacrificial act, it gives Him blessing, a blessing of redemption. Because the Lord gives grace to those who are willing to sacrifice their life to others. The Redeemer has come. John the Baptist is a witness. In the book of Matthew, Matthew said that he identified the great Redeemer. He said that Ruth became the great grandmother of David, and David is the 14th generation grandfather of that ultimate Redeemer, whose name is Jesus Christ. Believers of Jesus Christ, we are now redeemed from our sins. And the Redeemer is now in us. Ngunit darating ang time na hindi lang nasa puso natin ang ating Redeemer, darating at time that we will be with Him in person. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Then we will be with our great Redeemer forever to praise Him, to worship Him, whose name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we exemplify the character of Your Son, Jesus Christ, na sacrificially love others because You give grace to those who are willing to sacrifice their life for others, just like our Lord did on the cross. Bless us, Lord, that we might be light of this world so that You will be glorified. We pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.